I think you would agree that words can be a powerful exposure of the character of a person and maybe their opinion about someone else, themselves, or another group of people. I think you can think of maybe personal experiences where people's words have shown their true character. I think if we think of some maybe public examples, and there's been some high-profile scandals in recent years that have shown this to be true. Back in 2010, Gordon Brown did himself no favours, if you remember, in an encounter that he had with one Gillian Duffy, a 65-year-old lifelong Labour supporter. After a seemingly pleasant conversation that he'd had with her on the streets, he entered the safety of his car, not realising his microphone was still on, and uttered the words, "She's just that sort of bigoted woman that said she used to be Labour." In that moment, his heart and his opinions of Gillian Duffy, which may have, in front of the TV camera, seemed perfectly fine, were actually exposed, leading to scandal and a rapid attempt at him to rebuild his credibility in the face of an election. More recently, you might have read about the emails and the words of Richard Scudamore that revealed more about him than he would ever have wanted. His sexist emails and correspondence destroyed his credibility as the person running the Premier League and has led to him receiving widespread criticism. His words exposed his character. His heart was exposed to the world. But before we dig into today's passage, let's just work out where we are in the context of things. If you were here last week, or maybe you were at home group, then you would have seen that we're in the middle of a dialogue that Jesus is having with the Pharisees amongst the crowd. Jesus has been demonstrating that he is building, he is doing the work of God's kingdom here on earth. But the Pharisees have attributed that to that healing of a demon-possessed man in verse 22 to being the work of the devil. Jesus has then gone out and laid before the Pharisees the reasoning as to why their blasphemous statement doesn't actually logically make sense, and that the Pharisees are putting themselves in a position of direct conflict and opposition to Jesus. Jesus makes it clear in verse 30 that a person can only ever be in one of two camps. There is no fence to sit on. You're either with Jesus, living actively in a way that proclaims and honours him, or you're against him. You're in direct opposition to him. So Jesus continues his dialogue with the Pharisees here in verse 33 by describing a very simple picture that, again, describes two distinct and opposite situations. He says, "Make a tree good and its fruit will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruit will be bad, for a tree is recognised by its fruit." Jesus is illustrating a very simple concept. Take two trees that produce fruit. If one of them is a good tree, it's healthy, it's strong, it's well cared for, it's tended, it's given the right things at the right time, it will grow well and produce good and tasty fruit. On the opposite side, we have a bad tree. It's sickly, riddled with disease, weak and rotting, and isn't cared for, it's neglected. When the harvest comes, the fruit isn't good. It's blighted, it's small, it's the wrong colour, and it tastes bitter. None of us need any gardening or farming experience to see what Jesus is saying here. It's obvious. If I had the fruit pictured behind me in my hands, I think a blind survey, you'd pretty quickly pick up which was the tree that you should get rid of and the tree that you would want to keep. The condition of the tree is exposed by the fruit that it produces. It's a picture that makes a lot of sense. It's a picture that we can get on board with. You can imagine as Jesus speaks to the Pharisees, they would have totally agreed with Jesus' statement. But Jesus has a surprise for them. He turns the picture of good trees producing good fruit and bad trees producing bad fruit and tells the Pharisees that it exposes them. It shows who they really are. In verse 34, Jesus doesn't hold back. He says to them, "You brood of vipers,
How can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Jesus describes the Pharisees as vipers. They are venomous. They are full of poison. They were seeking to trip up Jesus and ultimately to find a reason to kill him. They were crafty. Jesus doesn't hold back and he confronts them directly, asking them, if they are evil, how can they say anything good? If they are bad trees, how can they produce good fruit? Jesus is exposing the Pharisees to be bad trees. He takes the picture that he has drawn and applies the same logic to the Pharisees, that the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The heart here is the tree. The mouth produces the fruit that is in line with that tree. So what's the conclusion we must draw about the Pharisees here? What the Pharisees said about Jesus exposed what their hearts were seeking to do. They thought they were being crafty and clever, trying to trip Jesus up, but in reality, they were being quite transparent through what they said. As we read this passage, we maybe missed the full force of this. If you remember when we were looking at this last time, a few months ago, we got like a behind-the-scenes insight into the motives of the Pharisees. Back in verse 13 of chapter 12, we read, "But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus." We know their hearts. But their hearts are now revealed for everyone to see by what they say and how they respond to Jesus. In fact, we see two responses to Jesus last week that are in complete contrast with each other. In verse 23, we saw those who are open to Jesus being the Messiah. They're thinking about, is this the one who is promised, who is to come? All the people were astonished and said, could this be the son of David? And then the complete opposite to that, the Pharisees. Listen to their words. "But when the Pharisees heard this, they said, it is only by Beelzebul, the prince of demons, that his fellow drives out demons." Jesus has already confirmed in verses 30 to 32 why what the Pharisees are saying is wrong, sinful and evil. And now Jesus is again confirming that these people, these Pharisees, are evil and sinful to their core. Their hearts are dark and rebellious. And this is exposed by the words that they speak. Jesus doesn't stop just at the Pharisees, though. He repeats his teaching from verse 33 in verse 35. He says, "A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him." It's not just the Pharisees' words that expose what their hearts are really like. It applies to the whole of humankind. Just as good trees produce good fruit and bad trees produce bad fruit, what is in a person's heart, what is in our hearts, is exposed by their words, our words and actions. This is striking, especially when we apply it to ourselves. If we think about what we've said and done this week, imagine if I had taken the trouble to compile a detailed documentary of your life throughout this week, or even just over the last couple of days, and covered every single minute detail and word that you said. Your thoughts, your actions, your words, all recorded. But I had them in this case here. The time when you muttered under your breath, the time when you spoke in malice or gossiped about your colleague or snapped at your spouse. Imagine if I had that all on this disc here. Think of all those situations. Imagine them, no matter how secret you thought they were. And I now announce that I had this copy here and that I was going to give it to Pete to show on the big screen behind me. How would you react? How would I react? I could pretty much guarantee that I'd be up there faster than I've ever been up those stairs. And I'd pretty quickly find a way to disable the computer. And I think that would be true of each and every one of us. This past week, we have had careless and thought-empty moments when we've exposed our hearts for what they're really like. It's not pleasant, but it's reality. What's the conclusion? If we apply Jesus' picture here that is simple to understand and what he is teaching, then we get to see what our hearts are really like. We can maybe sometimes trick ourselves into thinking that we're kind of okay. But actually, if we look at what Jesus is teaching here and apply it, we see that our hearts are rebellious, that they're dark, that we're sinners. The proof is undeniable. But you might wonder, well, does that really matter? Does it matter what state my heart is in? Well, the state of our hearts isn't inconsequential. It's not meaningless. And Jesus warns us of that here. These words that we've spoken, the evidence of the state of our hearts will be judged. We read in verse 36, Jesus says, "But I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned." Jesus here talks about every empty word. What he means is words that are spoken carelessly, without thought. It comes relatively easy to us to be quite deceptive with our words. We can polish them, we can create an image of ourselves and a facade. But what Jesus is really warning us about is what we speak that reveals what we're really like. Words that are muttered in that hot-headed moments that we wouldn't dare repeat. Words that are instant reactions that we don't carefully filter. A classic exposure of this for many of us, I think I can certainly own up to this one, is when I'm driving or cycling. Instead of gracious and love-filled words flowing out from my lips when someone cuts me up, words of frustration, anger, and malice often come out of my lips in the heat of the moment. This exposes my heart and exposes me to be someone who is sinful. Where will this dark heart lead us? Without intervention and rescue, it will only lead us to condemnation, Jesus says, when we face judgment. We will have no valid reasons for those words, no way to justify them. These words expose our hearts. They show us what we're really like. What Jesus wants us to grasp here is not that we should try and produce sweet words and mask what we say more of the time, but it's that our hearts are the things that need changing. It is the heart that is the source of our actions and our words. The words we utter are merely evidence for what is deep within and what will be judged. So we've seen Jesus expose the Pharisees and also how his teaching exposes us. So where do we go from here? How can us being bad trees that produce bad fruit, people with dark, sinful hearts, become good trees that produce good and wonderful and wholesome fruit? It seems impossible, but there is an answer. The answer is standing right before the Pharisees as Jesus speaks to them. Jesus is the only one who can take bad trees and turn them into good trees that will produce good fruit. Jesus uses another picture of good fruit in John to show us that without him, we can only ever be fruitless trees. In John 15, verse 5, he says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned." Without Jesus, we are rotting trees, useless branches that can do nothing. Jesus teaches that we need him to bear any good fruit. We need to be in Christ. We must recognize the truth of what Jesus is saying here. He's saying that we will face condemnation if we do not take the offer that Jesus gives. Jesus offers to take the condemnation and punishment that we deserve and offers his righteousness to us, so that when we do face that judgment, we are covered by Jesus' words and actions and are acquitted. So that when at judgment day that documentary of our lives is shown, actually what is not seen is our lives, but it's in fact we see the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Jesus' substitution and status, our change of status before God, doesn't just stop at our hearts. If we are changed into good trees, then we should be bearing good fruit. Back in verse 35 of our passage, Jesus talks about the good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. If we've asked Jesus to intervene in our lives and to change our hearts from the dark, sinful things that they are to be those that are good trees, then they should be wonderful fruit-bearing hearts. And this should be reflected in the words and the actions that we take. This means that when we're in those situations that maybe you thought of a few minutes ago, when you're being cut up in the car or on your bike, maybe you're tired with the kids, maybe you're having that moment with that difficult colleague, or when our spouses have frustrated us, how should we be reacting? We should be overflowing with the graciousness and love that shows Jesus' action in our lives, that reflects Jesus' character and love. We should be bearing good fruit. We should react with grace and love, not because we want to look good or not because we want to tick a box. We must react in that way because that is what we have sought to fill our hearts with, because we want to reflect our changed hearts. Yes, Jesus intervenes and he stands in our place at judgment, but that doesn't excuse us from nurturing and caring for our hearts with the help of the Holy Spirit, so that we can become trees that are full of good, have hearts that are full of good treasure, that they might then overflow into our lives, into our outward expressions. This is what the Bible calls sanctification, this process of continued renewal and refinement of our lives and of our hearts. Our lives should reflect the renewed hearts that God is building within us as he sanctifies us. Listen to how Paul encourages the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 8 of his letter to them. It says, "But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator." All of these things that Paul names in this passage are forms of speech. We must be careful that we don't put together just a framework of rules here, legalism or ticking off boxes to prove ourselves to God. This is not what this is about. Paul emphasized this new self being renewed in knowledge. That new self comes from accepting Christ. External changes flow out of our heart that Christ has brought about, and the Holy Spirit continues to form and change us. We must therefore be constantly filling our hearts with the love and grace of Jesus, and we find that in the truth of the Bible. We can do this each day by feeding on his word, as we encourage one another in home groups. Day by day, moment by moment, we must remain in Christ so that we can bear good fruit. A changed heart should be reflected by changed fruit in our lives. I know it can be hard to put the study of God's word at a high priority in our lives. I know I find it a struggle myself. But we must be doing it. We must be storing that good in our hearts so that that good flows out from us and produces good fruit. So we've seen this morning Jesus' simple but vivid picture of two trees, the good and the bad, producing two types of fruit. There are two distinct situations that we can be in, just as we heard last week. We are either good trees or bad trees. We've seen how Jesus engages with the Pharisees, exposes their hearts to be hearts filled with evil. But not only the Pharisees. We see that Jesus tells us that it applies to all of us. Our words expose the state of our hearts. If we're really honest with ourselves, we have to say that this is true. We may think we're good people, but our careless words reveal the truth. This is convicting. It should be. It should make us recognize how naturally dark and sinful our hearts are. And Jesus tells us that this will be, our hearts will be judged. Nothing more is needed to expose our hearts than these words. But in the face of condemnation, there is hope of acquittal because of Jesus, because of what he's done. It's easy to let ourselves fall into thinking that we're okay. We're not really that bad. But our speech shows us otherwise. We need Jesus to transform our hearts into sources of good. And then, if we ask Jesus to intervene in our lives by him taking the punishment and the condemnation that we deserve because of our hearts, then he can transform them into hearts that are good. Hearts that can then bear fruit. Good fruit. And if we are people who have asked Jesus to do that, then we need to be feeding our hearts so that we can live that out. So that we can bear that fruit. So that we can respond with the truth of the Bible, with love and graciousness to people who frustrate us, to situations where we would otherwise respond sinfully. In those situations that are good or bad, painful or joyful, we must respond in a way that honours and praises Jesus and shows Jesus to others around us. I just want us to take a few moments now just to reflect. Maybe just to think on the last week. What have our words been like? What does that show about our hearts? And I want to ask you the question in light of that. Where are you standing before Christ? Are you rejecting his offer? His offer to take that punishment and condemnation that you deserve? Or are you asking him to transform your heart, to intervene? If you're someone who's trusting in Christ, ask the Holy Spirit to show you how you can fill your heart with more truth and grace so that it might flow out into our words and actions this coming week. Let's just take a moment of quiet to think those things through.